Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come. Amen. As I was preparing for this morning, I knew I wanted to talk about the Holy Trinity in an expansive way. Let's go on to the next step. Slide. There it is, yes. For far too long, we have tried to diagram and explain the Holy Trinity, that which can neither be diagrammed nor explained, and trying to do so only gets us into trouble. Nevertheless, it is good to remind ourselves a few basic facts about the Trinity. First, while we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, next slide, we are not talking about three gods, but rather one God. We confess right along with our Jewish sisters and brothers, the Lord our God, the Lord is one alone. In addition to our understanding of the unitary nature of God, it is exactly like our Muslim neighbors a block and a half north of here. In fact, they use the name Allah in their prayers, and that's exactly what Lutheran Christians use in Palestine as well. All three of our faiths are monotheistic, and those who do not understand may claim that we do not believe in one God, and yet we remain staunchly convinced, and so we confess that our God is one. Secondly, when we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we use terminology of persons. In the Greek of the creeds, and the Greek creeds were originally written in Greek, not Latin, the word is persona. A more accurate translation is more of that word instead of person is how we pronounce it in English, persona, rather than person. And so you will hear me use that term in the rest of this sermon. Third, when we use Father, Son, and Holy Spirit language, we are conversing about the relationship of the three persons of God to one another. We may want to break them up according to the modalities of their work or their differences, but we really ought not do that lest the unitary nature of God become fragmented in some way. That godly unity is best illustrated in today's gospel. Christ, Spirit, and Father are all seen in an interplay with one another. They interact even as they convey the same truth, God's truth. And this interplay is, if you will, a holy play. It is God's actions to reveal God's self to the apostles. And we notice a similar interplay in the epistle of the Romans. As Paul talks about justification through faith, we again see the holy play of God's personas of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit interacting with one another to bring God's grace to bear upon the world, turning the world's challenges into the very things which engender confidence and courage. And we see that in the hardships of life. God moves us from one sort of difficulty to something redemptive and even beyond. In God's company, suffering produces endurance, which builds in us character, and that produces confident hope. This loving and holy process brings about lives that are renewed by the Spirit who sets us apart to make us holy in God's eyes. With so many of us coming from Northern European backgrounds, we may think that all of this is a very serious business and nothing to snicker at. And while at times it may just be that, there is also a sense where when God is at work, it is simply in playfulness that God deals with us and creation. When in Proverbs, wisdom is explaining her part in creation, it is as though she and Yahweh were playing a game, establishing ground rules, setting boundary lines, drawing circles. The maker of heaven and earth and wisdom are simply having a game time, and they are consumed with joy by this process. In fact, she says, I was daily his delight, always rejoicing in this. Yes. Creating and interacting with creation is the holy play of God in our lives, throughout the world, to the farthest expanses of the universe, and in our most intimate moments with God as well. When we were created in God's image, we are also created with the God-giving capacity for enjoyment. And that includes being able to enjoy God for who God is. Even infants and children are able to chant God's praise above the heavens, says our psalmist. In God's joyful exuberance of dealing with the creation, we are invited to see the playfulness of God in making us who we are and what God desires us to become. Being God's creation puts us in the position of enjoying God all that much more, for as God takes delight in the creation, so also we are able to delight in the goodness and grace of God. The great takeaway this Father's Day is that we are loved by a merciful Father who transcends fatherhood. God's love is not a love built on prerequisites, but rather we are loved simply for who we are. As a result, our God invites us into a deeper and more playful relationship than we had ever imagined possible, where we interact with the glorious creation made for our nourishment and enjoyment. So, enjoy the holy play of God at work in your life. Let it permeate your life so that you too may experience the joyous hope of glory, which will guide you into all truth, all mercy, all hope, all the love poured out into your hearts through the Spirit who makes and keeps us hilariously holy. Amen. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. Amen.